All right, well, we are studying the book of Ephesians. We're going through it verse by verse, so you'll want to get a copy of Ephesians in front of you. And Bibles are provided in the center aisle if you need one. This morning, the title of the message is Orphans No More, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 through 6. And let me just tell you something. We did not plan this, but, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. The subject matter, the critical central point of the whole message is adoption. Okay? And that's what happens when you just preach through God's word verse by verse and you don't calculate every single thing perfectly. He can work things out sometimes without your help, because we're here to talk about adoption with Ligon this morning. And what do you know, that this is exactly where we are as we're going through Ephesians verse by verse. And so orphans no more, Ephesians 1, 5 through 6. Give you a little outline this morning. You have an insert in your bulletin that you can use to follow along. In Ephesians 5, 1 through 6, Paul is talking about our adoption as children of God. He's talking to the church in Ephesus. He's talking to those who have become Christians. And he's saying, you guys, we've been made children of God. And it's amazing. And it is so infinitely valuable and precious. I just want to talk about that for a second. That's what Paul's doing here. That's what God's doing through Paul and his word here. And now I just want to say, though, that we just talked about a different kind of adoption. We talked about our church adopting Ligon. And, you know, many of you are like, man, that is really great. Wow. Small little startup church is adopting a middle school in Raleigh. You know, what a great thing. How neat. And maybe some of you are even here this morning because of that. You know, you're like, well, I wasn't really probably going to visit Fellowship Raleigh, but, you know, this sounds like a cool Sunday. They're talking about this thing that I'm really jazzed about, so I will go this Sunday. And let me just say, it is neat. It's great. It's a really good thing. That's why we're doing it. But it is nothing compared to the adoption that we have in Christ as God's children. And in fact, when you understand what the Bible is talking about with adoption, that then is the most unbelievable foundation and motivation for doing things like we're trying to do with Ligon, or for parenting your kids, or for serving anybody for that matter. It's an unbelievable motivation. And so that's what I want to show you this morning, this spiritual blessing of adoption. And so I said I had an outline, and here it is. First, I want to talk about adoption and our need for it. And then second, we're going to look, Paul here in these two verses is going to give us four aspects of our adoption as God's children. The first aspect is the moment of our adoption. And you can follow along in your outline, is now. The second is the means of our adoption, is Jesus. The third is the manner of our adoption, which is joy. And the fourth is the mission of our adoption, which is God's glory. And so let me just read this passage. Ephesians 1, verses 5 through 6, and then we're going to get into adoption and our need for it. Ephesians 1, 5. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. With which he has blessed us in the beloved. So let's talk first. I hope you notice as we read that, just right at the beginning, it says he predestined us for adoption. Adoption. He predestined us for adoption. So let's talk about adoption for a moment and our need for it. I think we all understand what adoption is. But truthfully, when you hear that, many of us don't really get that excited when we hear that. It doesn't really click how amazing that is. And let me tell you why I think that is. Because we have not fully grappled with our great need to be adopted. In fact, let me give you an example here. Well, what if I told you right now, just think about this. If I told you that wall right there is bright pink. What if I told you that? And you're looking at it and you're like, no, it's not. But I was like, no, it is. You would be so sure that I'm wrong and that you're right. And the reason that you would be so sure is because your senses are telling you, and you trust your senses, that that wall is not bright pink. Okay? It would be a crazy statement. Well, here's another crazy statement.
But of course, I don't think it's crazy, but I think it hits us and our senses tell us that this is crazy. According to the Bible, apart from a genuine relationship with Jesus, a person is not a child of God. Let me say that again. According to the Bible, apart from a genuine relationship with Jesus, a person is not a child of God. Now, again, that like the walls are pink is a non-intuitive statement. We live in a culture where we're all just children of God. That's sort of the mantra. That's the way that we talk about things. And so our culture is like that. And many of us have grown up in contexts where we've been taught that. And some of us, even in churches where we've been taught that. And so we think that we're all children of God. And so when you hear the fact that you can be a child of God and that you've been adopted in the gospel, it kind of just confuses you. You're like, well, huh? I thought I already was. Okay, cool. Next. See? But so what I want to do here at the beginning is convince us of our, we actually have a huge need to be adopted as children of God. We are not apart from Jesus, and we never were.
And so let's talk about this. I believe this is important because if we truly recognize that we are without adoption, then we will appreciate it as a gift from God. Now, a couple of objections that I anticipated to me saying this, and there are probably many. But the first one is that sounds like that the God of the Bible then is unloving. Sounds like the God of the Bible then is just not very loving. And I already suspected that. And, you know, hey, well, let me just say something. The Bible teaches that we are all God's creation. And that he as creator loves everyone whom he has created. So we have this creator creation relationship. God's created all of us. But we are not all God's children. We have the creator creation relationship, but the father child relationship does not come with being born into this world. God is loving. God is amazingly loving. He causes his sun to shine on the righteous and the unrighteous. God loves people. And here's the thing. Even though we're not God's children apart from Jesus, we can be God's children. There's even more evidence that God is loving. It's not that he's not loving. It's that he is loving and he makes a way for us to be adopted as his children through the gospel. More about that to come. So, but God, that sounds like God is unloving. Well, we've talked about that. But that's what I've always been taught. And that's what everyone thinks. That's another objection. Well, let me just be really gracious, okay? I get it. I feel you on that. But you know, and I know, that what everyone thinks doesn't make something true. Or what you've always been taught doesn't actually make something true. We know this. And so let's look at the scriptures and see what they really teach about whether we are God's children or not. Now, a few reasons I believe this is in the Bible is that all through the Bible, God chooses a particular people to be his sons and daughters, his children. It's always been this way. He chose Israel in the Old Testament out of all the nations of the world to be his precious inheritance, to be his children, to be his sons and daughters. He chooses a particular people. Exodus 4, Hosea 11. In the New Testament, the church or Christians, genuine Christians, God chooses them to be his children. This has always been the way it is. No one except Jesus is already a son of God. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, the Bible teaches also that apart from faith in Christ, we are actually children of wrath. It says that. It says we're in this sinful state. We're in this sinful condition because of our sins and also because we've inherited a sinful nature before God. It says this in Ephesians. So if you want to look just over in chapter 2, verse 3, Paul, again, he's talking to people who used to not be Christians, but now are. And he's talking to them about what they used to be. And he says this, you were by nature children of wrath. Like the rest of mankind. You see, this is what the Bible teaches. The Bible doesn't teach that we're all children of God. We're all creation of God, and he loves us very much. But we're not children of God. We're actually children of wrath. That's what the Bible teaches, contrary to popular belief. Now, here's the third reason that I believe this. Because, now listen to this one. The gospel's generous offer of adoption makes absolutely no sense at all if we are already children. Hello? If we're all God's children, then the fact that Jesus died on the cross to make us God's children is pointless. It makes no sense. But the Bible teaches in 1 John 3:1, it says, how great is the love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. But if we're already children, or maybe rebellious children, that's not really that great. So either we're right and we're all God's children, or John's right and we're not. But God is so great and loving that he's made a way for us to be his children. Amen. Now, but, I mean, just think about this, though. I mean, what if your real parent, your true biological and legal parents came home one day and they said, hey, I got good news for you. Got good news for you. I did something unbelievable for you today. And you're like, what? You're like, well, I adopted you. You'd be like, huh? Okay, look, first of all, that's not really that great of news because I thought I was already your kid. So either, number one, you're weird, or number two, there's something you didn't tell me. You see, it makes no sense. Offering adoption to someone who is already a child is like offering a lifetime supply of tooth whitening to Regis. OK, it doesn't make sense. It's like offering a lifetime membership at a tanning salon to Wesley Snipes. It makes no sense. OK, the gospel is that we have been made children of God. Because we were not.
Adoption in the fatherhood of God, in fact, is one of the truths that radically sets Christianity apart from all other religions. That men and women can have a personal relationship with the one true God that we can call the creator of the universe, Dad. That's what sets Christianity apart. So, Paul is really jazzed up about this, and he's going to give us here four aspects of our adoption as children of God in verses 5-6. So look with me, if you will, at verse 5, the first part there. We're going to see the moment of our adoption, which is now. Verse 5 says, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. And you could say sons and daughters. He predestined us for adoption. The moment of our adoption is now. Now, think about this for a moment. The word predestination or predestine, think about the word premeditate. And if you look actually in verse 4, it says he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. All right. So this is a plan that's been in the works for a long time. Predestined, premeditated, just it happened in advance. And so you say, well, why is the moment of our adoption now then? Shouldn't the answer there be the eternity past or something like that? No. Here's the thing. The plan was made in eternity past. He predestined us before the foundation of the world, but it's activated now. You see? And that's the amazing news of the gospel. Let me show you this passage from Galatians 4. Galatians 4 should be up on the screen. Galatians 4, verse 4-6. Now, again, the moment of our adoption now. Galatians 4. But when the fullness of time had come. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Think about this. The moment of our adoption is now. Now, it was predestined thousands upon thousands upon thousands of years ago. And there's a waiting and there's a waiting and there's a waiting. And then you hear the gospel for the first time. Maybe you hear it for the first time clearly this morning. You hear the gospel for the first time. And that plan that's been in the works since it was predestined for thousands and thousands and thousands of years is finally activated. And you are adopted as a child of God, as a son or a daughter of God. And then you like forget about it. And you don't talk about adoption for like the first 20 years of your Christianity.
We've been waiting thousands and thousands of years for this to be real, for this to be now, for this to be enjoyed. And then so many of us don't have this close familial relationship with God as our dad that Jesus died on the cross to give to us.
So we've got to live this out. How strange is it that so many of us don't live like God is our Father and we are His children? Our adoption should revolutionize our prayer. It should be simple. It should be intimate. It should be affectionate. Our conduct, we're living out the family values. We're portraying the family character. We're on the family mission. Our faith, we boldly ask our dad for big things and we always come to him because we know that he's good. That's what the Sermon on the Mount is all about, by the way. So the moment of our adoption is now. The means of our adoption is Jesus. So let's look at verse 5 again, the middle part there. Verse 5, He predestined us for adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. You see that word through? Maybe underline it. That's a word of means. This is how God has accomplished our adoption as children of God. This is what the Bible teaches. You are not adopted as a child of God by being born into a Christian family. You're not. You are not adopted by a child of God by being adopted into a Christian family. You're not adopted by a child as a child of God by being brought to America, to the South, even to Raleigh. Not by going to a Christian school, not by attending church, not by being raised in the church, not by saying the Lord's Prayer, not by owning a Bible, not by saying Father God repeatedly as a filler in your prayers because you're not very good yet. Some of you got that. Not by looking adoptable or trying to look adoptable. That's not how we're adopted as children of God. That's not the means that the Bible gives us. So what is the means? Look back down at that word through. What's after it? Through Jesus Christ. That's how. Through Jesus Christ. The means of our adoption. Jesus only. You say, how does that work? Well, God created us. He created us to know Him and to worship Him. And we've sinned. And we've not worshipped Him. And we've tried to be, you know, in the driver's seat of our own lives and live independently of God, not dependent upon Him. And so God sends His Son, Jesus, fully God, fully man. And He comes and He lives a perfectly obedient and sinless life. He lives the life that we should have lived. Then He goes to the cross. And on the cross, Jesus dies the death that we deserve. Okay, so here's what happens. So there's this great substitution. There's this great exchange. And the offer of the gospel is this. That today, if you turn from your sin and place your faith, set your hope on Jesus and what He did at the cross, then God reckons. He's an accountant. He accounts your sins to His Son, stripped, naked, and hanging on the cross. He accounts your sins to His Son. And He accounts the righteous and perfectly obedient life of His Son to you. But you know what else? He accounts the child status of His Son to you as well. He doesn't, see, in the gospel, God doesn't just make us, just let us out of prison and give us a new, expunged, clean criminal record. No, He also invites us to His table as sons and daughters. He invites us to come eat with Him and fellowship with Him at the family table. It's adoption. And it's not something we were. It's something we never had. And God gives it to us. It's more than justification than making us right with God. It's making us sons and daughters of God. Adoption is the highest blessing of the Christian life. And Paul's talking about that here. The means of our adoption is Jesus. If you believe in Him today, God will reckon your sins to Him and reckon the sonship of Jesus to you. The manner of our adoption. And by manner, what I mean is sort of the tone of your adoption. You know, you eat at the table. That's eating at the table. But what were your manners? How did you eat at the table? So how did you perform that task of eating at the table? That's what we mean by manners. Okay. So the manner of our adoption as God's children is joy. Is joy. So look at the end of verse 5. It says, according to, it says all of this is according to the purpose of His will. Other translations are helpful here. You can see where I got the word joy from. If you look at the NIV, it says, in accordance with His pleasure and will. The New American Standard says, according to the kind intention of His will. Here's the point. God has a will. He has a wish. He has a desire. He has an intention. He has a prerogative. He wants to do some things. And when you do the things that you want to do, aren't you happy? See, God is too. He's joyful. He's fired up. He has a purpose. And He's executing it. This plan to adopt us is according to His will. That's the point here. It's interesting. I was thinking about this. If you take this phrase out, just remove this point from my sermon, take this phrase out of this passage, the passage is still really good. It really still makes sense. Let's try that. Look at the passage. Verse 5. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. That's still really good. But what's it missing? It's missing the manner. It's missing the tone of our adoption. You see, God, it does not have a frown on His face with His hand forced by our sin to adopt us. He has a smile on His face because it is according to the purpose of His will. That's our good Heavenly Father. He's joyful in His tone as He adopts us. We've looked at the moment of our adoption, which is now, the means of our adoption, which is Jesus, and now finally, the manner of our adoption, which is joy. I'm sorry. And now finally, the mission of our adoption, which is God's glory. And by mission, I mean the ultimate purpose, the end game, the goal, the mission of our adoption, which is God's glory. Look at verse 6. To the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. You see the word to there? That's a word of purpose. To. Why did you do all this? I did it to the praise of His glorious grace. That's the purpose. That's the mission of our adoption as God's children. Grace means unmerited favor. Now let me say something. This is not that all of this is to the glory of God. It's not some huge, heavy theological observation that I'm making. It's an obvious, common sense observation that I'm making. Of course it's all to the glory of God. Think about it. I was watching a special on ESPN Outside the Lines with the University of Georgia's head coach, Mark Richt. And he and his wife have two sons biologically, Jonathan and David. And they both decided, you know, we have more love to give. This is a Christian family. And so they wanted to adopt some children. And they found these two Ukrainian brother and sister children that needed to be adopted. Now, the daughter, her name was Anya. And she had a major facial deformity. And that's why she had been abandoned and given up for adoption. And so Mark Richt, the head coach of Georgia football, and his wife and their two boys, they go over to the Ukraine and they adopt these two kids and they bring them into their home. And this is a wealthy family, head coach of a Division I football program. And they bring them into their family. They bring them back to the United States. And it's this amazing, heart-wrenching story. And you can check it out. It's on ESPN, the website. Just check it out. But at the end of the story, you're left thinking, man, I want the Bulldogs to win this weekend. Mark Richt is a great guy. Yes, I love that guy. And that's okay to think that. That's really the truth. This father, who's wealthy, looked at these children who were in need and generously chose to adopt them. And of course it shines on the father and says, he's great. No one's going to walk away from that ESPN story going, well, you know, glory to those children, because anyone would have adopted them. Clearly, the moral of that story is that those children were exceptionally adoptable. And the father, I mean, Mark Richt had no choice. No, of course, our adoption as God's children, of course, the mission of our adoption is God's glory. That's the effect. That's what happens when we tell our story of how the God of the universe has come to us in the Son, Jesus Christ, and made a way for us to know Him, not just to be right with Him, but to know Him as our dad. No one looks at you and says, you must be great. Because you're not. And neither am I. They look at God and they say, what a God.
What an amazing God that He would do that.
The mission of our adoption is God's glory. And then it just says, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. Just this is just a modifier of when He says, to the praise of His glorious grace. And He says, well, what is that? That grace? And He says, yeah, with which He has